All right. Well, welcome to the first episode of the Henchman's Podcast. I am Captain Frugal, and we have
Henchman number one.
And our guest today is Piper. So welcome, Piper.
Hey.
You are going to be our sacrificial first-timer. So as we talk about things like games and comic books, and I guess we don't care much about the PC thing, henceforth why it's good to be anonymous, so it pisses people off. I guess the first thing we want to hit is the Daredevil Netflix program. Have you watched all of them yet?
Ooh, awesome. I have.
So all of us have watched them.
I've watched all but the final episode.
Oh, you haven't seen the last one yet?
Not yet.
Oh, don't know what you're missing.
I'll get to it.
But I'm what? It's been out longer than a week and you haven't binge-watched it yet?
Remember, we're old males. With kids and all, it's a little tough.
I think that's a Coen Brothers movie.
Oh. I have to say, I loved it. I was a little skeptical at first, especially with the first episode, but then I think it really picked it up. Foggy was just awesome. I think it was the best portrayal I think I've ever seen of Foggy.
Yeah, Foggy's a great character.
Yeah.
And what was it, second episode with the fight scene in the hallway? That was just balls. That was awesome.
That was a great scene because he just gets tired.
Oh, man.
Like a typical fight scene.
So what did you think, since he hasn't seen it yet, what did you think about the ending costume reveal, the evolution of that, his outfit? Oop, I don't think she realized. Piper?
I've been waiting for that.
Oh, yeah?
I really like the, I like having us wait the whole season for that. Because it shows that he didn't just decide that he was going to be dressed like that. Like, he gave him time to kind of earn the title first and then figure out the materials. It was, and it looks pretty sweet.
I thought it was cool, too. I heard somebody complain about it to me earlier, but I thought it worked out well. You know, it's not too flashy, not too, like, bright red like a tomato.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not that god-awful yellow.
Oh, yeah. I like the classics outfit. But
oh, really? I think D-Man now all the time.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
Not Daredevil because he was first.
But. Didn't D-Man smell? Wasn't he like stinky?
Yes, he was the stinky one that came out. Nobody wanted him around because he lives, I think, in the sewers.
Oh.
But yeah, I thought it was great and brutal. Matter of fact, if I was to give it a name, I think I'd see it as like the year one Wilson Fisk.
It was like Daredevil and Kingpin year one.
Yeah.
Now, I hear season two is going to have the Punisher.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see him because the actor once on screen.
Well, I think they picked a really good actor for him, I think.
I hope there's a skull costume on there. I hope they don't try to go all black or something.
No Dolph Lundgren?
No, well, yeah. It was in, what's that movie, The Untouchables or whatever? Not The Untouchables, The Unforgettables, The Endurables.
Well, Dolph Lundgren played the Punisher in the B-movie.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're missing. Jeez. So I guess we're all in agreement it was a pretty wicked show then. Definitely worth the second season.
Yeah.
All right, well, Piper, I'm going to give you first shot at this. Maybe you're more up on date on this than I am. Currently with Marvel, with the Secret War, is this really a reboot and they're just trying to hide it?
I'm trying to figure that out myself. To be honest, I've been following it, and I bought Deadpool's Secret Wars, but I keep forgetting to read it. But It looks to me like they're definitely trying to kind of tie up some loose ends and reboot some stuff, at least. I think it might not be a massive reboot, but it still looks like they're trying to slip in plenty of reboots.
I swear Marvel's the king of the soft reboot. We don't want to admit it. We're rebooting it, but we are.
The non-reboot reboot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Now, Henchman number one, you've read the first issue, at least, of Secret
War. Yeah, I've read the first one. The second one was out of print when I tried to go get it, but it just, like, basically everyone and everything is being vaporized and erased, and it just seems like a cheesy way to just remove 50 years of continuity. Like, we're starting all over. We don't care about our fans. The hell with you. Just like our new stuff.
It's not reading very well to me either.
Well, I guess from us, we got the old man perspective of reading these characters while someone's like me for like 30 years.
You kids, get off my lawn.
For somebody like you, you're the target audience now. I mean, you're the younger, especially female. Is it making you want to read this? Or the way I see it, it's like a great jumping off point from Marvel.
I think for much newer readers, this might be a decent spot to come in. And I think maybe after this, actually, would be a good spot to come in and start getting to know whatever characters or they leave. But
I swear, just read
right now, I'm having a hard time reading it just because I'm kind of like, this is, yeah. I've been reading comics for a while, off and on, Marvel and DC especially, but I jump on and then I jump off a lot.
So it's not.
Oh wait, what?
So it's not really keeping you and drawing you in then.
No, I'm kind of like, where are we going with this? That's what's keeping me going, but not entertainment of these books themselves.
Yeah, the first volume or the first issue wasn't that entertaining. I mean, it's just everybody's dying. You're like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, all right, how am I? I mean, I already know these characters, but I try to imagine sometimes other people trying to come in at this point, and I'm like, there's nothing here that's making me give a rat's about any of these people right now because there's so many.
Yeah, because I was trying to follow the Avengers, and everything was like, here's an Avenger, there's an Avenger, everywhere there's an Avenger, and like everybody in the Marvel Universe was an Avenger, and I had no idea what was going on. And so there's all these Beyonders, and they want to work. I mean, it was all the hype before Secret Wars. It was just like, I can't follow it. I've been reading comics off and on, but most, when I was a kid, how in the world am I supposed to know what's going on? If I can't figure it out, how is, a new reader supposed to figure it out?
Well, I've been reading.
Yeah, that's where I am right now. Is I'm jumping back in, so almost like a new reader, but not really. And I was excited because it made it seem like kind of like Convergence, where they were going to touch on groups and heroes and storylines that I remember, but instead it's just all scrambled in this one clusterfuck where I just really don't care about anybody.
That's a good word.
Well, that's how I've been feeling about, because I read Avengers like it's a Bible, I think. Religiously, I have almost every issue. And the last couple of years, that's what it's been like. It's like, let's throw every character in, but yet not actually have any character in the characters anymore.
Yeah, it's
too busy spotlighting everything.
Exactly. The characters have no character anymore. They're just there. It's just like a bad soap opera with no plot.
It feels like everything's a cameo and there's no more character development.
Bingo.
Yeah. Today we're going to throw in this character and you're going to love them because Dan Slott said so.
Here's Cannonball. Another New Mutants.
Oh, man, yeah. Okay, well, so Secret Wars, I guess, is still a big wait and see. So, okay, this now the hot button topic: the state of Spider-Man. So, Spider-Man is what, technically sort of on a hiatus, going to get rebooted again, but yet it's only had 18 issues in, and there's Renew Your Vows, right?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez, Pete. Dan Slott, where do I start? I'll tell you what.
I was kind of thinking about Spider-Man. We should kind of each state where we are with Spider-Man to begin with. I don't know. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, we'd go up to Michigan, and I got my first comic ever was a Spider-Man comic. It was a Doctor Strange Spider-Man comic. And it was the coolest thing. And I was like, Spider-Man was awesome when I was a kid. And I read it through the 80s when I was a teenager. It was awesome. And then Todd McFarlane started drawing for it, and then the 90s happened. And I just stopped reading Spider-Man altogether. I just said, this is awful.
So about you, Piper? Spider-Man fan? No? Oh, the evil laugh. It's even better.
Oh no. I have a love-hate relationship with Spider-Man. It's Dan Slott's fault.
I'm right there with you. My wife was a long-time reader of Spider-Man. That's what started her reading comic books. She has almost every Amazing Spider-Man issue, original issue, as well as all the satellite books. And Dan Slott's writing was so atrocious to her, she quit at Superior Spider-Man. I tried to urge her to keep going, which I feel like an idiot for. I urged her to go to issue 9. And then I was like, okay, this turd is just too stinky.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I jumped off the Spider-Man train. I wasn't all the way on it, so I'm going to, you know, to be perfectly honest, I wasn't all the way on the Spider-Man train to begin with. Batman was my gateway comic into comics, and Superman. And it is fun to look back at how ridiculous Superman was, and I just thought he was super, super awesome. But he's so ridiculous. So when I jumped over to Marvel, though, X-Men was how I started getting into Marvel. But when I moved over into getting into Spider-Man stuff, I liked him for a while. And then Dan Slott happened. And I was kind at the time. My opinion was just, well, maybe Spider-Man isn't for me, or at least not a, or maybe I'm outgrowing Spider-Man or something. But Spider-Man ended up being the first comic I helped my son get into, though. And that kind of rekindled my, you know, I kind of rediscovered Spider-Man myself and just avoided the Dan Slott stuff.
I can understand that completely. I think Dan Slott was the first ones that gave me nerd rage. I mean, massive nerd rage. I mean, that guy just pisses me off. I'm not going to hold back. I think he's a dick.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he is a nice person. So, but I had my opinion of his writing before I had my opinion of what kind of person he was. However, I do have friends that have really good interactions with Dan Slott and that he was really nice to them. So, I don't know, he was not very nice to me, and that was, he didn't even know how I felt about his Spider-Man at that point.
I think he's the kind of guy, as long as you're telling him stuff he wants to hear, he's going to love
it.
Once you cross him in any way, anything to slightly disagree with, he'll target you like crazy. I mean, he's got a history of Twitter stalking and everything else.
Oh, man, dude, it's nuts. I had to block him on Twitter. And two other writers, actually.
The two previous mentioned, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know, to be fair, I think he's got some interesting story ideas, but it's like he comes up with these big schemes, and he goes, okay, how can I crunch and manipulate the characters to fit my story rather than letting the characters be organic?
You know? Yeah.
I mean, like, stupid pills is cliche at this point, but the whole freaking cast is on stupid pills. And Spider-Man's not even the hero in his own dang book anymore. He's getting saved by some side character every freaking issue.
Yeah, in the old book, Spider-Man back in the 80s, it was like Spider-Man was kicking everybody's butt. You know, like, he could take on the Sinister Six by himself. He took on a Herald of Galactus. He could take on everybody. Now it's just like he runs and hides, and his spider friends come and save him. It's just like, wait, what? But one of my old friends, he's been collecting comics since the 80s, and even he, I think, got upset when One More Day came out. And I was not really reading a lot of Marvel books at the time. I was reading more DC books at the time. I was like totally getting into Batman again. And then I just was just, even I was upset about One More Day, and I wasn't even reading it. I'm like, you got Peter Parker making a deal with the devil, and I think that was sort of the downward spiral for Spider-Man.
It was. That was, I know a lot of my comic book friends, that one just kind of killed the whole thing for him.
Well, he's not been in character ever since. Like you said, I mean, Spider-Man used to kick ass. I mean, he'd go in there, I mean, he took on the X-Men and everything. I mean, and now he can't freaking... He gets his butt beat by a chick on the rag. I mean you know, I just don't get it. I mean, there was a recent issue. Now, I don't know if you listen to Spider-Man Crawl Space or not. If you don't, I suggest checking it out. I mean, those guys know they're Spider-Man inside out. But there was an issue where he had something collapse on him, a pillar or something, and then the guest the you know characters, the side characters, had to save him from the villain, and then all of a sudden he lifts it fine, like it was no problem. It's like, wait a minute, you couldn't lift it before until they stopped the villain, and then you can lift it? I mean, this is crappy
writing. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's just bad.
Yeah, that definitely had to have happened long after I ditched the comic.
Yeah, well, I think I can understand the rage at Earlier Superior, because there's 2 points in Earlier Superior that just said, okay, enough is enough. This guy doesn't, you know, care or something. But one was when Doc Ock was in Peter's body with a date with MJ. It didn't go real well, so he goes home and masturbates to the thoughts of Peter thinking about her. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, God, I remember.
Yeah, that was just like, really? But then I think the final kicker was where there was a situation where Peter could have got out of it, but it was going to cause him not to save this little girl. Now, anybody knows the character of Peter. He would sacrifice himself in a heartbeat, but it made it like he had to really think about it. It was a trying. Bull crap. I mean, Peter's always been about sacrifice. He made a mistake once, and he's been paying for it, guilty for all of his life.
Yeah, guilt is his nom de guerre, I guess, or his, you know, he had Uncle Ben die, and then Gwen Stacy died, and she got better. But
she died and she got better.
Yeah. And I mean, she's Spider Gwen now. It's just like, oh, we found a cheat, found a loophole. It's just like, you know, it's like comics are comics and they got their weird stuff, but some things have to stick. You know, like Gwen Stacy staying dead, she has to stay dead. Uncle Ben has to stay dead because that's part of what makes a character, gives them character. If all of a sudden people can just come back from the dead. You know, they should only do that in Walking Dead. They shouldn't be doing that in Spider-Man.
Well, technically, for Spider-Gwen, it's a completely different alternate universe reality thing, and Spider-Man is dead in her story. I mean, Peter Parker is dead in her story. The situation just got flipped. So, like, in Spider-Man, she's still dead. So he's still got that going for him.
Yeah, but the guilt's got to be lessened because there she is. She's there and alive. It's like, oh, she's dead, but here she is in another. She's back. And it's just sort of like,
Maybe they're just going to kill her again later.
Maybe
just to really double down on it.
She'll snap her neck again somehow. That, you know.
And Dan Slott will drink the tears of sorrowful fans.
Yeah. The good rumor is Dan Slott might be going off Spider-Man. But that could mean we get a worse writer for Spider-Man.
Damn!
Like,
yeah, that double you don't know.
I will say I about
dropped
my brains on the floor and sat on them when Dan Slott tweeted something to the effect of making Peter out, making an analogy of him being like an alcoholic. You fall off the wagon. He thinks that Peter's selfish. Peter is not a selfish dude.
No.
I mean, he just grew up with nothing, being a dweeb, and he took one moment for himself and paid for it for his whole life. He's not a selfish guy. He just doesn't know the character. He thinks he knows the character.
Right. Tony Stark is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, and he embraces it. More power to him. All right, so after Secret Wars, do you think Peter Parker will be around as Spider-Man? Or, you know, because of the early rumor about Miles, that he's going to be Spider-Man. Do you think Peter will still be existing?
I think he'll be retired.
I think, see, somebody told me that Miles is going to stay in all.
Well, yeah, they've done a little bit of press. It's going to be him as Spider-Man in a book called Spider-Man. But there makes you go, okay, what's Peter's role going to be? You know, I don't think there's two people going around being Spider-Man, I hope.
Unless they do the Steve...
Yeah, well, no, somebody said Miles was an alternate reality so that there can still be a Peter Parker Spider-Man reality and then a different reality. Because what kills me about comic books anymore is, like, there's 10 different... books because they're 10 different realities and 10 different versions of the story.
Oh, you mean DC Comics.
Yeah, well, it used to be DC Comics. Now, who knows with Convergence what's going to happen.
I think Convergence is actually supposed to be their way of cleaning some of that up, is what they're kind of selling it as.
I hope so. Okay. Well, now this next one I saved for you, and I know nothing on this topic, so I can't talk about it at all, really. The A-Force series.
Oh, man.
I remember you said you had some thoughts on this, so I thought I'd share that for you. Something special.
Oh, man.
I've not read even issue one, so.
I've got some friends that are really hyped. Now, I'll be perfectly honest. I haven't even read it because I don't want to. I don't want to because all I had to do was read their own synopsis of it, along with a few other reviews, both from people who were excited and not excited. And no, just no. So the backstory explanation as to why A-Force exists and is even happening, like, doesn't make sense. It sounds really cheap, basically.
Well, with the whole marketing stunt, of course it's cheap.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it sounded like they weren't even trying. They were just like, oh, quick, come up with an excuse why there's like a bunch of chicks.
So like the new Marvel Avengers book, one of those excuses. What's with Avengers? What's pander?
Yeah. And, but it's just, it's so bad. There's a, happens to be a female everything. Like, the heroes that weren't originally females, they kind of swapped gender on all sorts of stuff. They didn't really have much of a, like, they didn't feel the need to really write much of an explanation as to why some of them were gender swapped. Some of them were gender swapped prior to this.
Well, and, segue to that, because Henchman number one just mentioned it, and I was also waiting for you for that, too. We talked about it a little bit earlier, She-Thor.
She-Thor is why, like, an entire website of people hate me, because I don't like She-Thor, and I think that's a really stupid reason to be mean to somebody.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not fine with a female Thor, but her name shouldn't be Thor, because that's the guy's name, for crying out loud.
Right.
Yeah, the one that was the most mean to me and, like, the loudest in his hating on me and stuff, actually, he went on this big tirade about how if you don't like the female Thor, then you're obviously not a real Thor fan, and whiners like you are just ruining the industry. Get out of our comics, basically. And went on to cite that Thor has had other identities before, failed to cite why he had said identities.
Right, like,
or went by different names.
Covering for Thor, so, but he wasn't.
Yeah, so he tried to say, well, Thor's not really Thor. The hammer just gives him the power of Thor, and when he's not Thor, he's some dude. And I was like, no, actually, they retconned that later by saying that he had amnesia, thought he was just some dude. When some dude is later just became one of his alternate identities for whatever, and I was like, but no, they managed to backtrack and clean that up and say that, no, the whole time he really was Thor Odin's son, for real, and his hammer just happens to, you know, then he gets powers. And I'm like, and here's an argument that I immediately gave him that he failed to acknowledge, was I was like, all right, well, Storm has picked up the hammer. She didn't become Thor. She was Storm with the hammer.
If I'm not wrong, I think Captain America picked it up in the comics once, and Wonder Woman's picked it up, but that, I don't know if that counts, the Wonder Woman one. It was in that.
I don't know if that counts as canon.
That was that horrible rotten.
And Beta Ray Bill stayed Beta Ray Bill. He remained Beta Ray Bill. He didn't become on Thor now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He stayed Beta Ray Bill. And there's a bunch of others, and I'm like, so that argument is way out the window. And obviously, it seems like a lot of the people that are complaining, at least, with logical complaints, might just be be a bigger Thor fans than him, since they seem to know more.
I guess so. You know, one of the things that... I'm sorry, go ahead.
The big reveal was kind of, figures. I was mistaken, though, in saying that, well, she's held the hammer before, too, and not been Thor and taken over his entire identity. I was mistaken there in the fact that I forgot that that was a what-if comic and therefore not canon, but still.
Oh, how did you make a mistake? My website should be made in your name.
Yeah, let me. Regarding the hammer of Thor, I mean, it says whoever is worthy shall, you know, possess the power of Thor if they wield the hammer. And it was just like, you know, it was like whoever's worthy shall possess the power of Bob. You know, you're not going to just change somebody's name to Bob. It's like, so in Thor, it's she Thor, but she's just Thor. But it's like, no, that's not like Lord or Lady something or other. It's Thor. It's his name. It's like Chuck or Bob.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, the hammer doesn't say shall become.
Right. They just have the power of.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Another thing I just want to add regarding A-Force, there was some, I don't know, angry feminist, too much education lady who wrote for the New Yorker. And she was saying that A-Force looked like pornography. And I was just like, what? And so that just...
Wait, it looked like what?
It looked like it was, you know, she said it was a pornographic cover, the first cover for A-Force.
Oh.
So I was like, you got
it. Wasn't that the one with, like, all of them on it?
Yeah. And just like, what? What? I just, all I could think was, this was, like, too much education, lady. Because, I mean, she's writing for the New Yorker, and she went to Harvard. It was just like, what? Maybe she's just writing something because she's just trying to be controversial.
You know, see, and to me, that's the biggest loan.
Do you not know what porn looks like? Generally, they should have, like, a way less clothing.
Well, you know, on top of that, you look at every male superhero is ripped and stuff, and half-time, half-naked and stuff. Why are, you know, what's the double standard here?
And they shouldn't, what's her name, Mary McCarthy? Isn't she the actress, the comedian? I mean, they shouldn't all be built like, you know, Mary McCarthy. They got the right actress.
I couldn't tell you.
But anyway, you know, she's the what, King of Queens, not King of Queens, but I don't know, some show on CBS.
Lost me on that
one. She's been in a bunch of funny things. She's funny, but come on. Like, women who are superheroes are going to be built athletic. They're going to have athletic figures. They're going to look like they can hold a car and throw it at you. That's the way they should be built.
Granted, with athletic figures, some of them probably shouldn't have the boobs that they do because they should be athletic figures, but I'm giving them that because I'm not going to sit here and, like, they're still fictional characters when it comes down to it.
And they could be a mutation, you know, they could be mutants.
They're boob mutations.
Boobs.
I can channel thunderstorms. Look!
My mutant powers to make men's eyes focus.
Whoa, distraction.
See, no matter what, we're gonna be more drawn to attractive looking characters.
Right.
And oh my god, I've seen like DC plays up Nightwing's butt, like, so hardcore. That I'm like, I can forgive you all for all the boobs and the cleavage and stuff, because at least you're playing up Nightwing's butt for the rest of us.
some illustrator's really into his butt. I'm like, hey, more power to you, I guess.
Yeah. I need to look up who that is, because I'm like, you're my friend. There was like a little bit of, there was some gratuitous bat butt in Arkham Knight that actually made me think of Bayonetta.
I haven't got
because we did this like very intentional. I can't remember what he was supposed to be doing, but they did this real intentional zooming in on his butt thing while he was doing something, and I'm like, oh well, thank you. That was very nice of you. Like,
as long as there's none of the Batman movies, for crying out loud.
Right. I don't think any of that's, even if it's in there, I don't think it's necessarily pornographic either. I mean, like I said, the one lady, you know, I'm a college graduate. I majored in English, so I think I would know if something should or shouldn't be there. And when somebody has too much education, and it's just like, that's not pornography. I guess there was a Supreme Court justice who said, pornography, you know it when you see it.
Yeah. Whoa, that's what's on my computer.
It's not my computer.
There was an artist that took some female heroes, and they sat there and went, okay, now let's make their costumes more logical.
Yeah.
And I agreed on a couple of parts when they were changing these costumes. But for the most part, I was like, you realize that with all the flipping around, kicking, and this and that that they do, they can't all be clad in, like, those clothes. Those are restricting. There's actually a good reason, like, good use for the, like, the unitard and stuff.
Right.
If you have a character that's pretty much, like, impenetrable or impervious to whatever, like, bullets and crap like that, they don't really need to be worrying about covering themselves up with fabric in case that might stop a bullet. they're gonna be more worried about having a range of motion.
Yeah, Wonder Woman should be, you know, I think Xena would be a great idea for something for a Wonder Woman outfit, where she's got the ability to run and move, where she's not constricted by what she's wearing.
Yeah, I like that direction. They're going in too, because it's closer to, you know, you've got the kind of the Greek mythology in there tied into the outfit more than the random stars thing. Yeah, leather, but she's still got a range of motion. The one I agreed with, because somebody did draw her, but they drew her all buttoned up from head to toe. The thing I did agree with was they put her hair in a braid, because, yeah, having long hair just flipping everywhere,
yeah,
that part doesn't make sense. Having it back in a ponytail or a braid or something does make a lot more sense.
Yeah, she's an Amazonian. I mean, they wanted to do it literally. She didn't think her bald.
Oh. But please don't do that.
Yeah.
I prefer the
but see, we still want to make these characters attractive, because you're more likely to care about them and want to follow them if you like looking at them.
Yeah. That's right.
And some people don't want to understand that. I mean, that's kind of basic psychology, and some people want to complain about it. And I'm like, well, as long as they're doing to the guys essentially what they're doing to the girls, and it makes sense, enough sense, then I'm fine.
You know, another thing I find funny with that is you know this is temporary. I mean, when the next Thor movie comes out, it's got to change. And that's going to be a little sexist probably, but women, from what I've heard, love Thor in the movies. Because that guy, that
Chris Hemsworth?
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
They drool.
Oh, I know.
Oh, so you fit that category then.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I don't mind Thor being a dude in the movies at all, as long as he's playing them. Like,
so I don't see the change.
We can objectify dudes just as much as we want to complain that we're being objectified, and it goes both ways.
Right, and I'm sure DC's doing it too to a degree, but I know Marvel, and that's one of the things that's aggravating, because I'm a diehard fan. But I tell you, they're making it hard, I think personally anyway, and I've been on record on this before, is that Marvel's using diversity and feminism as a marketing tool rather than being legitimate about it. You know,
yeah.
They're giving them all these...
And I think that feminists should actually be offended at them just cheaply throwing it out there the way they are. They're not even trying. Very cheaply throwing it out there.
A great female Thor character, and call him some color something different. And we have no problem with that. I think, and Stan Lee's been quoted. There was a Newsarama reported on June 22nd. I'm going to quote him. He said, "I wouldn't mind." He starts with Peter Parker and talks about other ones too. He said, "I wouldn't mind if Peter Parker originally been black, a Latino, an Indian, or anything else. That he stayed that way. But we originally made him white. I don't see any reason to change that." And then he also went on and said, "I just see no reason to change that which has already been established, when it's so easy to add new characters. I say create new characters the way you want to. Hell, I'll do it myself." And I think he's absolutely right. We're just changing the continuity of characters
for
20, 30 years, and all of a sudden, oh, today I'm gay. Or something, you know, it doesn't make you a homophobe or a racist or something. You go, wait a minute, this is a character that's been around for 30 years. You don't up them in one thing like that. It's shameful.
He's not Caitlin Bruce Parker. He's
Now, see, I see some arguments against it a little bit. And at first glance, you know, they seem like legitimate arguments. I mean, I even saw Gail go off about it, and I kept my mouth shut this time. I didn't want to piss off another writer. But I kept my mouth shut this time. But, you know, she was going on that, you know, comics change with the time, all the characters change time, and she was saying that, you know, some characters, I mean, some actual people take a very, very long time to finally, you know, come out of the closet or be who they are and stuff like that, because the times change and make that more of a acceptable thing. And while I agree with that argument 100%, characters that have changed with the times have still, like, natural, felt like they were naturally changing with the times. So there's a right way and a wrong way to change an established character. The right way is sticking with how the character is, and how would this character, you know, change with the times or this and that. And then there's the wrong way, which is taking a character and just randomly at the end of his run go, by the way, I'm gay.
Right. Well, if you look at this too, here's one of the things that make me, wait a minute here. If you understand that logic, oh, it gets the guts to come out, but this is a guy that's been persecuted for being a mutant. I'm sorry, but if you've been a mutant your whole life and persecuted for that, you think being gay is going to be that big of a deal?
Yeah, that's pretty less of a deal.
Yeah, the problem is, I really don't mind if they had explored it.
Right.
You know, if they had really, like, wait, what was that?
Yeah, explore it. Make a slow transition or something to make that happen and give a backstory.
Yeah, what they did with Iceman, they did it too, right? Yeah. What they did with him was wait till the end to go, oh, I'm gay. And I'm like, it doesn't work for me.
It just, yeah, like,
okay. Or if it does work like that, when you throw it into a comic like that, it looks like you weren't trying. It literally looks like you went, we need some more gay characters. Oh, hey, I'm gay. Like, that's what it looks like when you do it like that.
Yeah. You know, and there's another one where I have my tiff at with this kind of stuff, too, is, first of all, I think, just for the record, Sam Wilson, the Falcon, is a great next step for Captain America. Great progression, you know, to take over the mantle. But it was the absolute wrong time to do it. They had the Captain America Winter Soldier movie. People were like, wow, the Falcon's cool. That would have been the time to use a Falcon book. Because you know Captain America 3 comes out, Steve Rogers will be back.
I mean,
yeah.
It's just like, why didn't you use it while you had it? Because he's a good character. I must be one of the few people on Earth that like that character, yeah. I think. Because I always thought,
oh, no, I do too.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people get the mistake. And you see things like on Tumblr, where I think reasonable sense goes to die. But, diversity would be one bowl and the next. And that's where people get mistaken. I think diversity is always additive. You never have to take.
Yes.
And if you continually add, you will get there. There's no reason to have to take Steve Rogers away to make the Falcon a good character. It's just lazy.
Yep.
They pissed me off.
Now, see, what I didn't mind about them announcing that the Falcon was taking over for Captain America, what I liked about that was that they didn't say Steve Rogers is now black.
Right. And I agree with that. I think he's a perfect logical name.
They didn't. Okay, well, my big thing is I think that's the right way to kind of push more diversity in comics, is that they have characters that kind of, they're really good standalone characters already, but they maybe, if you want to push some diversity, let him take over the title of Captain America. Therefore, Captain America, yeah, is technically black now, but it's not going, and Steve Rogers is black now.
Right.
It's going, no, this black character is taking on this, you know, character's title now, so now he gets a turn being Captain America. That's the right way of doing it. I honestly, Marvel is trying, and it's really hit or miss, because some of it is working out really good or sounds like it's going to work out really good, and some of it just looks cheap, like they shoehorned it in there really quick, like, well, we better show that we have diversity and sexuality, so hey, I'm gay now, you guys.
Yeah.
Like, that looks cheap. Or, for the first time ever, a woman is worthy, which was complete bull.
Yeah.
So Thor is now a chick for no reason why she has his name, but let's do it anyway. She's a chick. That's a cheap way.
Yeah.
Well, I agree 100%, and I
do it. But then you have great ways to do it, like with Falcon. I think Miles is another good way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. I think he was a great, for example, Captain America, that was a great progression, and I'm all for it. But the thing that ticks me off is they're going to do it. Go for it. I mean, because you know what happens when Captain America in the next movie comes out. Steve Rogers is going to have to come back.
Yeah, Steve Rogers will be back.
Well, the movie universe is supposed to be different from, you're supposed to view it as a different universe than the comic
but they
universe,
tie
too.
In, though, every time.
They tie a lot of it in, so it's like a little bit of an offshoot.
Right, but well, look what happened with Spider-Man, the good old Superior Spider-Man. They had to hurry up and cut that off for the movie. They made that happen because he wanted it to go longer.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, so they do tie. You look what happened after the Avengers movie. They wanted to make sure those characters were in. They even changed costumes to fit the movies and everything, too. So
They did that with the Guardians, too.
Yeah, so I think they're trying to play both ends and see what works. Like you said, I think they're throwing everything against the wall and seeing what sticks at this point.
Well, the movies also help. The movies are bringing in new comic book readers, the ones that they go and they see the movies, they think the movies are awesome, and they're like, well, then I really like these characters. I'm going to go look at the comics. And kind of tweaking the comics for the movies in that way helps kind of direct new fans.
But yeah, the Captain America thing I think is great, too. I'm a big fan of Sam. I think it was done right, so, you know, for that respect. But I wish maybe they'd do something long-term rather not pander. To change subjects a little bit, how about the Archie Kickstarter, where you had to donate money or something like that, write a story and give it to them from them to rewrite it and give them credit? I'm so glad that failed.
That's a criminal.
Yeah.
I seen that. I thought it was a joke at first. He's like, wait a minute, pitch us a story, pay us, and we'll write it for you and take credit for it. I mean, really?
Oh. Yeah. Like, that sounds like a great deal.
I can't wait to submit every idea.
Yeah.
I have.
No.
Right? I don't know how they expected that to succeed. Did they really think that people were just really dumb?
Well, you don't just think so highly of them, you'll give them anything? Jeez.
See, that's why so many of them hate me.
Because you're honest about it. Yeah, I agree with you there, too. Oh, yeah, I'm still scratching my head about this next Avengers launch, where they're bragging already that it's got one white guy in it. That's what they're bragging about. The rest is minorities. What's the point of bragging about that?
Yeah, that makes no sense. You know, any book, you know, should be written about the characters. Who the characters are, what their gender is, whether they're whatever they are, they're really a secondary.
Yeah.
Nobody's reading comics because they're like, oh, I got to make sure we have a gay character in there. We got to make sure we got, you know, the, you know, atheist character in there or something. It's just like, we want to watch mutants kick butt. We want to watch Spider-Man kick butt. We don't, you know, we want to watch something or read something.
Right, and they don't have to look like me. I like Wonder Woman books. I love Captain Marvel. Well, the Carol Danvers, I haven't read much of the current, I didn't care for that much. But, you know, I love Power Man, or now as Luke Cage. But I have all the Power Man, Iron Fist, and everything else.
Luke Cage is Power Man now?
Well, there's a new Power Man now.
Oh, well, I was thinking Wonder Man, sorry.
Yeah, oh, yeah, Wonder Man's just had a bad run, poor guy. I mean, that guy can't stay alive.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, even when I was little and first getting into comics was, I didn't care about the character's race or gender or sexual preference or any of that stuff. The character was just the character. The story was, there was a story. And if sometimes that stuff came into the story, it, you know, as long as it was brought in, fine. Like, it's kind of a big deal where Black Panther is from, you know?
Yeah.
Like, but that's part of the story. Like, his race literally is part of the character hardcore in the story. It's important, but really didn't, like, I didn't put so much effort into looking for representation of everything when I was reading these things. Now, I'm not... Well, I'm female, I guess, so I guess I've got that going for me, but I'm like, I can't speak for everyone who might actually be reading these, and It is true that you kind of, a lot of times, some of your favorite heroes are ones that you can kind of see yourself in the story, in their place and stuff. But to me, that was always a personality thing.
Right. It was never the color. You know, if, I don't know if you pay attention to the main event online. He goes, has the event status, YouTube. But he's even commented on that because he's grown up in Philadelphia. He's a black male. And he said the current things that he heard from Bendis about, oh, well, anybody can be Spider-Man if he's black, but not if he's white. He's like, that's the biggest crock of crap he's ever heard. He says kids, they were running around playing Ninja Turtles and everything else. Green even, you know, and they didn't care. He didn't have to be the same color. He never had a kid go, oh, you can't be Superman because you're black.
Yeah.
Now, among cosplayers, it was always awesome because that's how you got to see X version of X character. Like, it never stopped people really from cosplaying a character. I've seen one of my friends, one of my favorite costumes she does is she's black female Loki.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, that's awesome. It's awesome to see. Like,
Loki can do that.
What?
Loki can do that. That's part of his power. He can shape change.
Yeah, that's true. He really could do that. Yeah, he really could be. But, so maybe that wasn't the best example, but I really like her costume.
But
you know what I mean? Like, I've seen Wonder Woman of all body types and races, and I've seen gender bent just about everything. Yeah. And so you can bond with a character and put yourself, you know, if you really like the way a character thinks or acts or their past and stuff, you're bonding with that character regardless of what their whatever is, race, gender preferences and all that stuff. Because it's the personality, as long as the personalities are well written and convincing.
All right, well, I want to shift.
I want to add one more thing, because it's like you started off talking about the X-Men, and I think comics and science fiction and, you know, speculative fiction and fantasy can deal with subject matter without having to be overt about it. You know, like the X-Men dealt with genocide and, you know, bigotry and hatred without having to be overt in your face about it. You know, you could feel for the X-Men without necessarily having to be a mutant.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, was like the greater appeal of it. Now it's like this political correctness, we got to change everybody to pander to certain people, is forced. You know, if they would just have characters who just do their thing, it wouldn't be forced. It would be natural. Because you have, you know, Black Panther could be leader of the Avengers after Captain America retires. Well, why not? He's king of a country. That would make sense.
Yeah.
You know?
But, you know, I think DC did it right earlier in the 70s with Green Arrow, Green Lantern. They addressed a lot of issues, and they said, we're not going to go one way or another. We're going to look at it from different sides, and, you know, and look at that, and they worked together.
And you had Jon Stewart
playing
the Green Lantern back in the 70s. So,
and think about most of our youth today watching the cartoons and stuff. That's their Green Lantern. It's the one they're going to know.
Yeah, the whole Justice League thing would be a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you don't mind me shifting gears so we can wrap it up a little bit, this was one of your topics for the Henchman, Star Wars Episode One. And are the prequels really that bad?
Well, you know, I'm going to get on my soapbox here and just, you know, there's a whole lot of nerd rage out there about this movie or that movie or how much people hate George Lucas because of these prequels. And I'm just like, you know, the guy has given us Star Wars, for God's sakes. I mean, if Star Wars hadn't succeeded, you know, we wouldn't have a lot of cool things. I mean, we'd have Star Trek, which is cool, but you don't have, like, Han Solo and Chewbacca and Yoda, all these, you know, quirky characters. All the characters are pretty straightforward in Star Trek. And not, I mean, I like Star Trek as well, but it's just like, knock off the rage, guys. It's just sort of like, okay, you didn't like the movie, you just didn't like the movie. I mean, if you want to go see a bad, high-budget, high movie, go watch, you know, the 1997 Spawn, based on the comic book, which...
Ooh.
The only thing I can remember.
Or anything Michael Bay.
Oh, anything Michael Bay.
How dare you, Michael Bay.
It's, you know, it's just that idea of something that's so hyped up, it sucks after you watch it. Like, I was just watching these reviews. The Red Letter Media guys were talking about how much they liked Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh,
and I just was like, they basically hate many other things. I'm like, that movie was awful. Because it was like there was some thought into it. You know, I mean, aliens are going to travel trillions of light years to come to Earth to mine gold. Like, and they're not going to have spacesuits, and they're just going to have liquid gold pouring all over inside of their it's just, come on, put a little thought behind some things.
Well, I thought that one was supposed to be kind of campy and bad in a good way.
That's sort of what got me back into comics, because I was talking with my brother. I had this idea, and it was kind of like a Pulp Fiction meets Close Encounters sort of idea. And these, you know, these aliens and cowboys would fight. But the aliens were actually here for a practical reason. They needed to mine uranium to, you know, power up their ships so they could go home. I mean, getting gold, well, you can get that anywhere. I mean, it's a universe. It's huge. But there's that. So anyway, I'm tired of the nerd rage. People just need to relax. If you don't like a movie, you don't like it. But don't take it out on somebody.
But do you think there's anything wrong with voicing it that you thought something you didn't like?
Oh, sure. That's fine if you don't like something. Go ahead. But it just seems everybody seems to be ragging.
Well, if you don't like it, yeah, definitely tell the world and tell the world why you don't like it. But don't, I guess don't rag on people. Like, don't actually really rag on people for liking it if they do like it.
Yeah, don't hate the guy just because he made a couple movies you didn't like. Because he made a bunch of movies.
Hate Michael Bay because he made all the movies that you don't like.
Michael Bay deserves scorn.
Oh, come on. No, I can't watch that. I get not hating
on George Lucas because all of us nerds freaking worship his ass after the original Star Wars. So,
but Jar Jar did deserve assassination.
And you know, there was so much hype for that movie. It was
hate Jar Jar. Yeah, hate Jar Jar with a passion.
With episode one, I mean, you would have thought that people were expecting the second coming of Jesus with all the hype for that movie. How couldn't have been disappointed by that movie?
Yeah.
And it was just sort of like, it's a good movie. It's entertaining. It's not the greatest movie. I think it's a C average movie. It's not terrible. And that's what disappointed people. So it's like, get over it.
Yeah.
Well, we're holding it up. We're holding three additional movies up against movies that were actually kind of like ahead of their time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They were a big deal for their time. They were a huge breakthrough in sci-fi, especially, you know, the space sci-fi for the big screen. And so, I mean, they were a big deal at the time. When the next Star Wars movie is coming out, at that point, the market's been plenty saturated with space movies, like, out the ass.
Well, you got Spaceballs.
They're
awesome. I'm surrounded by assholes.
What's his name? That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major Asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole, too, sir. Gun is made first class, Philip Asshole.
How many assholes we got on this ship, anyhow?
Yo!
I knew it. I'm surrounded by
animals. I love that.
But yeah, there's. It's harder to. It's not going to be a breakthrough, and that was the problem. We still wanted it to be in a market that's now fully saturated with sci-fi and space movies at this point, and it's fully saturated with all the CGI tech that they used and stuff. We're not going to get that huge breakthrough that we wanted. We just got, you know, some more movies in the series.
that's it. We got, yay, here's some more movies. They weren't character-focused, and I think if they had been character-focused, people would have loved them. I'm pretty sure the next movies will be character-focused. I'm going to guess that Star Wars 7 is going to be a remake of the first Star Wars, you know, Episode 4. And it's just going to be kind of like Star Trek 2009. We'll all like it. There'll be a lot of action, and we'll walk out happy. But when the next one comes out, we'll hate it. Star Wars 8. There's only so many lens flares we'll be able to take by J.J. Abrams.
There we go. Save them for Star Trek.
Right. Save them for Star Trek.
Oh, my God.
Piper, I also want to give you time to, is there anything you wanted to plug, any projects you're working on or anything else that you wanted to, you know, give a shout out for?
Oh, man. Okay. Let's see. I have a list.
Go for it.
I should start writing comic reviews for Fangirl Nation soon. I'm going to stick to comic reviews mostly over there. And I can be heard on the Popcorn Podcast, which can be found through Fanboy Nation. And
I listened to the last one, I might add.
What?
I listened to the last podcast, too, I might add that.
Oh, awesome! I haven't even listened to it yet. I was pretty quiet on that one, I think.
You were. But that's all right. I
noticed that when we have like an actual guest, I get really quiet and just start listening intently and forget to say things.
Well, I will say, you talk a lot about Game of Thrones, and I've never seen a single episode. So,
have you read the books, Piper?
You want to know a secret?
You've read the book?
I haven't either. Nope.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't watched the show or read the books yet, because I wanted to read the books before I watched the show, and I haven't been able to get my hands on the books because I've been busy and poor. So a lot of my commentary on the show has come simply from getting spoilers from everywhere and watching clips and this and that and previews and all sorts of stuff. So basically I'm like researched the show a lot. It was just funny because I've already like decided I have favorite characters.
You know, well, just, I love Tyrion. I think he's one of my favorite characters.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, I love Jon Snow, but I think it's because I really love wolves too. So
could be that. I'm reading the books. Struggling to get through the third book. The first book is like cracked. I couldn't put that thing down. The second book, after 100 pages, it was like cracked. And this third book, I am just like, come on, something happened. And I can only imagine the TV series gets to that point, but. My thing with the TV series is it was like softcore porn with people talking about political intrigue. I'm like, I can't do both. My brain can't focus on softcore porn and political intrigue. It's one or the other, but not both.
Two heads can't be stimulated.
Right, right. Two heads cannot be functioning at the same time. But I don't know. It's one thing if they want to add that, you know, bits and pieces of it to Game of Thrones. It just seemed like it was overt in the first season. And it really took a lot away because the books are very political, and I usually just skip past when I'm reading just all the stuff about what, you know, who Tyrion is shacking up with, or who's shacking up with who, which is like, okay, whatever, let's get on to the action. And not the wrong kind of action, but just the political action. And so I've gotten bored with the whole Jon Snow thing, and because he's over the wall, and he's meeting, was a Mace Windu or Mace Rider or something?
Don't let me, I've never seen, I don't even know who these people are.
Mace Rider.
Mace Windu.
And, you know, it's just, I don't know. And then George R. R. Martin sitting there trying to be a celebrity and be on all the talk shows. And it's like, dude, you got two more books to write? Finish writing them. And then the TV show is just going to go ahead, weigh the books, and spoil everything for two books. It takes this guy 6 or 7 years to make a damn book. And now everything else he's been waiting since 1996 or something going to be like, you've got to be kidding me. Why would anybody want to buy the last two books that are coming out? Screw George R. R. Martin. Wow, because he's mad at the fans. You know what I mean? Screw him.
Once again, I have no clue of any of this. I've never read a book or anything. I don't follow nothing there. So
I don't pay as much attention to him. I pay a little more attention to just things that center around Game of Thrones than I do him. Although I have gotten to the point where I'm like, you know what? I have Netflix. I could just watch the show and screw the book.
Is it on Netflix?
I think so. I think older ones are. I think.
Couldn't tell you. I have Netflix, but I couldn't tell you to look for it.
Now we're going to get the crazy Jessica Jones show. I don't know when that's coming out.
I, you know, why not Misty Knight and her partner, what, Colleen was it? I think it was. That would have been, I think, a better pick, but oh well. Maybe that's for a different day. All right. Well, thank you again, Piper. Much appreciated. And we look forward to having you on again. Mind, we'll send you some topics, and hopefully we'll have less technical difficulties. I have a bad feeling it's because of our workplace Wi-Fi sucks. So.
That's probably the thing, but we're henchmen, so what do you want?
Yeah, we don't matter.